May it please the court, counsel. My name is Chris Gomez, registration 28039, here on behalf of appellant Charmin Hiotis. The issue that we're here to discuss today is the district court's abuse of discretion.
I'm sorry, counsel, could I ask you to lower the microphone just a tad, please?
There is a button on the podium also that you can lower it if it's too high for you.
Oh, there it is.
There you go.
Is that better?
Thank you.
Thank you. We're here to argue that the district court abused its discretion in denying the petition to seal criminal records of Charmin Hiotis. It is our position that the district court erroneously relied on the Harris versus the Denver Public Post case law in deciding that they didn't have to weigh all the four required factors or requisite factors to steal a record, and gave unfettered deference to the weight of the Colorado Department of Education's, the CDE's, argument regarding its desire to keep the records open. Under precedent of DWM, RJZ, and MT, the court has consistently held that the district court must consider four factors in deciding to weigh the privacy interest against the public interest of sealing a record. Those four factors are the severity of the case, the severity of the charges, the time elapsed between the charges, the subsequent criminal behavior of the petitioner, and the government's interest and need to retain the records. The district court and the lower court magistrate failed to address any of those issues in its record. The case law does support that when a court does fail to address those records and does not weigh them and explain in their record why they the balancing process, that they've abused their discretion. For that reason, the district court failed, because the district court failed to weigh the privacy interest of Ms. Hiotis, the district court abused its discretion in denying her petition.
Counsel, may I ask you a question, please?
Of course.
How do you use the Bushu case then in light of the amendments to the statute and that being a case since DWM to rely upon DWM as saying that the factors are still mandatory?
Well, the Bushu case didn't say that the four factors weren't mandatory anymore. The Bushu case said that there are other interests also. I mean, other factors that could also be considered and light up. So it opened up the door for more things to be considered, but it's still, I would posture the consistency is that those four primary factors must still be considered. But even if the court were to agree with the district court, I would say that the record is deplete of the court that's concerning any of Mr. Hiotis' privacy interest. The only factor cited by the district court for Ms. Hiotis was mentioned regarding her employability at this point. The court did not describe what factor or what weight it gave it, other than that we raised the issue. Whereas we raised more than just those issues. We raised the severity of the offense, which is a Class 3 misdemeanor. It's the least of the severe offenses in the criminal, one of the least severe offenses in the criminal code. We also raised the fact that Ms. Hiotis has not had a prior or a subsequent record. We raised the factors regarding her employability. She's a 24-year veteran teacher. We cited in the record with the magistrate, she lost a long-held job because of the CDE's actions regarding this a revocation action that resulted from these charges, and her ability to find employment outside the teaching field and within the teaching field because of this record. So these were, amongst other reasons, these are the reasons we cited to the district court to say she's got a great privacy interest. And we also argued that it outweighed the CDE's interest in maintaining the record open, because the CDE, for one, has all the records. They have every record they have regarding that's necessary to prosecute this case.
Well, I want to ask you about that. They have the records, but it's unclear to me what your position is as to what they can do with those records. Can they, I'm going to ask you point blank, yes or no, can they introduce those records in a proceeding regarding the license?
I would say yes. And the reason I would say yes is if the court looks at 2472-308, paragraph 1, F3, and F3, and also the criminal justice records where the CDE is a criminal justice agency,
right.
the court looks at that section 308 in its entirety, there's nothing prohibiting the district, the criminal justice agencies, such as the CDE, from introducing those records or using those records in a subsequent proceeding. In fact, I would say that the language allowing that access to these records without a caveat saying you can't use these records if they're sealed, they say you have access to these records. In fact, for the CDE under paragraph F3, in a pending petition to seal, the statute gives the authority to the CDE to ask all this information, and also tells the petitioner, you don't have a right to privacy on this. You have to give this information. I would say that that language infers, actually reasonably interpreted, without, because it doesn't have constrictions as to what the agencies can do with this information, I would say that that means that they could also use these records in a further proceeding. There's nothing prohibiting them from doing that.
May I follow up on Judge Jones' question then? If the records are sealed, do you see any benefit to Ms. Hiotis in any licensing or disciplinary proceeding?
Yes, I do, Your Honor.
And what is that?
Well, the licensing and the disciplinary proceeding, if the records are sealed, part of the issue would be whether they're harmed to the, you know, one of the potential, and this is hypothetical, but one of the potential and classically used violations of the statutes that to the harm to the community, offense the morals of the community, and engage in immoral conduct. So I think that when we're looking at a community standard, whether the potential for the community to be harmed, it serves as evidence that this record is sealed, and if this record is sealed, then it's not open for the public to review. So it does provide mitigating damages, mitigating circumstances for Ms. Hiotis to argue. But it also provides her an ability outside just the licensing proceeding to further expand her employability. It's just not about the CDE's ability to prosecute, because they can prosecute. Whether the administrative law judge will weigh or admit such evidence, it's for them to decide depending on the party's ability to argue fruitfully. But as far as their ability to, our ability to use it as mitigation and their ability to introduce whatever the underlying record is, it wouldn't be thwarted. I mean, the administrative, I would say that the administrative law proceeding would go forward as in its natural course. And I would also argue that under RJZ, this particularly on point. In RJZ, the prosecutor in that case just had sought to object to the sealing of a record because it said itself, we need to further investigate this case because of potential other issues. And the court there said, you're a criminal justice agency. You have these records available. That's not a compelling interest. That in and of itself does not compel, does not outweigh the privacy interest of the petitioner. Here, we have a criminal justice agency who not only has had ample opportunity to prosecute Ms. In a disciplinary proceeding, Ms. Hiotis against license. They're keeping it indefinitely.
So may I ask you, do you believe that the records are sealed then, that it limits in any way CDE's ability to pursue disciplinary or licensing action?
I would say it doesn't inhibit their ability.
And so your position, Ms. Yoda's position, is if CDE proceeds with a licensing application or disciplinary proceeding, if the records are sealed, it in no way limits how they can proceed?
Well, I can't look into a magic ball and say in any way, because I don't know what would proceed. That would cause me to speculate of all sorts of things that could happen. I would say, based off the facts we have now, the what we have here, what the CDE is seeking to keep, you know, keep not under seal or to prevent from being sealed, are records that are criminal justice records that they already have.
Right, and I understand that, but I will tell you, I don't know how the licensing hearing usually looks. I don't know what evidence is presented, how the parties generally proceed with that hearing. So that's why I'm trying to get a clear answer from you. Is there anything at a licensing hearing or disciplinary hearing that you believe CDE would not be able to do that they could otherwise do if the records are sealed?
I believe it have no effect. The CDE's main argument is that they wouldn't be able to use the deferred judgment and guilty plea because they have since been withdrawn. I would say that that legal posture stays the same regardless. The guilty plea and the deferred judgment have been withdrawn.
Well, that's a separate issue from whether the records are sealed. I'm trying to get to the sealing piece. Is there anything that you believe happens with respect to CDE and their ability to proceed if the records are sealed?
I can't foresee any at this time. Having been involved in many licensing issues, I don't foresee any because the evidentiary issues would be the same, whether they can produce this information, whether the ALJ accepts it, what weight it gives. It's for the discretion of the lower court, but as far as being able to have access to these records so they can produce them and introduce them into the ALJ, that there is nothing that sealing these records would inhibit them to do.
Go ahead.
I'm going to ask this a little different way. It seems to me the department is concerned that should there be a proceeding at which it wants to enter the records themselves, not the facts, the records themselves, the criminal records, that there's some uncertainty here because your client could object and say they've been sealed, and who knows what the ALJ will do, and they don't want any of that uncertainty.
I would say that the records themselves, they would have, regardless of whether the records are sealed or not, regardless. Taking that out of the factor, because the primary basis they're concerned about is we have this deferred judgment here. They want to get that record in. Under Weber is pretty plain on that too. If you have a deferred judgment and you have a withdrawn guilty plea, that can't be used in and of itself in a disciplinary basis. However, the underlying record can. So I don't think anything changes. The legal posture doesn't change. If they want to try to introduce the deferred judgment and the guilty plea that's been withdrawn, it is up to the ALJ to decide whether they can do so, whether they can support a basis for doing so. Yes, we will object. Will we object on the fact that it's sealed? No, we'll object on the fact that it's withdrawn, because that's the basis.
So, do you believe that it was unreasonable for the magistrate to believe that there was a potential that by sealing the record it could impact how CDE proceeded at a disciplinary or licensing hearing?
I think it's unreasonable to have a petitioner to speculate on a grand scale of what could happen at a lower court to the magistrate. I think that's unreasonable because we're here to ask for the records to be sealed. We're here to say that these records are available to them. How they choose to prosecute the case, how skillful they are in prosecuting their case and raising the arguments, we can't speculate on.
And I'm sorry we've eaten into your time these questions, but I think bottom line is, in terms of potential impact, it sounds as though you also believe that it's hard to predict what would happen as a result of the records being sealed at a licensee proceeding and what?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the sealing shouldn't affect it, because whether the CDE can introduce its evidence, whatever arguments they raise to introduce that evidence, however we choose to object and whatever arguments we raise, that's where the administrative law judges decide and weigh independently. I cannot predict how that will happen. I would say that the record is available. They have the evidence they need. How skillfully they provide and produce that their argument is beyond, is calls for speculation. I can't say that the records themselves, though, because I don't think under 308 that it prohibits the CDE from using these records at a future disciplinary proceedings. I think that it shouldn't affect it at all, the fact that they're sealed. At best, it offers mitigating evidence to Ms. Hiotis in that, to the harm to the community or the public, but as far as evidentiary issues, it wouldn't affect the evidentiary admissibility or not, because that would be something that ALJ would have to decide. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. And we're going to, after your argument, counsel, we're going to allow the appellant to have a couple of minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, my name is Sarah Peddington, bar number 43746, and I represent the State Board of Education. The issue before this court is straightforward. Ms. Hiotis' petition to seal her arrest and criminal records was properly denied for two central reasons. The magistrate applied the balancing test set by statute, and the court did not abuse its discretion in making this decision. Under the Colorado sealing statute, a trial court must balance the competing interests of the individual and the public in deciding whether to seal arrest and criminal records. The sealing statute does not explicitly require courts to consider any particular factors in determining whether to seal arrest and criminal records. Rather, courts developed factors to aid in the application of the statutorily created balancing test. The balancing factors created by the courts are discretionary and not mandatory. These factors are not meant to be all-inclusive, and trial courts have the discretion to determine which factors apply on a case-by-case basis. Ms. Hiotis suggests that the court did not consider balancing factors enumerated in Bushu when balancing the competing interests of the individual and the public. However, the record is clear, especially when viewing the transcript of the hearing of the magistrate, of the hearing in front of the magistrate, that Ms. Hiotis argued the four balancing factors.
Counsel, can I interrupt you? Sorry, it's me.
Oh, sorry.
Did the district court have the transcript available when it was reviewing from the order that it entered? It did not appear to me that it did.
I believe that's correct.
That it did not have the transcript?
I believe so as well. I read the district court opinion to have reviewed the magistrate order, and I didn't see, I would agree, I didn't see any indication. However, the opposing counsel has designated the entire record, which would include the transcript. And the transcript is very clear that Ms. Hiotis argued all of the factors, which she again discussed today. And again, the magistrate still cited that the public's interest outweighed that of Ms. Hiotis. The magistrate's order reflected a balancing of the tests. And in fact, it is the second to last sentence of her order, which states, after considering those concerns, the court finds that the harm to the privacy of the petitioner or dangers of unwarranted adverse consequences to the petitioner are outweighed by the public interest in retaining the records.
Counsel, I want to ask you about this public interest in retaining the records.
Yes.
It seems to me that opposing counsel is conceding that as a criminal justice agency, the department is entitled to the records.
Yes,
that doesn't seem to be disputed. Mm-hmm. Is entitled to use the records at any licensing or disciplinary proceeding, and the sealing wouldn't make any difference. Okay, now you might have some kind of an objection on some basis, but it wouldn't be because they were sealed. So I'm just kind of wondering why we're here.
Right, and I would respectfully disagree with that opinion. The purpose of the sealing records, well, let's back up and say that a licensing proceeding is a public administrative hearing. Anything that is introduced into evidence is open to the public. The purpose of sealing criminal records is that they are protected from the public. CDE maintains the position that if we are to cross-examine Ms. Hiotis at the disciplinary hearing regarding her conduct, and she does deny that that conduct occurred, we are unable to introduce those sealed criminal records into the hearing because then they would be public. So then why would she seek sealing of those records if they're just going to be public in the administrative hearing? And CDE feels hard pressed to introduce those records at a disciplinary hearing. And the magistrate judge, and as affirmed by the district court, found that those criminal records are crucial to the disciplinary hearing, and also suggested that Ms. Hiotis refile her petition to seal records after the disciplinary hearing has ended.
I guess I'm not seeing, we used to call it a case or controversy here. We have two parties, one party who wants to introduce the evidence if need be, mm-hmm. another party saying, I'm not going to object on the basis of sealing. I mean, but yeah, we're talking about sealing.
Right.
I mean, so you say, well, your client's inhibited, but they're saying, go ahead, we're not going to object on the basis of sealing. Mm-hmm. They may have some other objection.
Right. So I understand the question, and you know, I'll happily use her statements in the disciplinary hearing. However, what's really at issue, and which is of greater concern, is that sealing the criminal records inhibits and frustrates the statute, the Colorado Educator Licensing Statutes, and that is of greater importance here, is that CDE and the board, so the board has interest in keeping the records, and that record and that particular interest is rooted in the state's constitution.
But you get to keep the record.
You're
a criminal justice agency. You get the records,
mm-hmm.
period. So how is that inhibited by sealing? You get the records anyway.
So the CDE does get the records because we are a criminal justice agency, and we do have the right to petition. And that's why we're here today, because we objected to the sealing of the records. The educator licensing statutes specifically authorize CDE with the authority to use the arrest and criminal records in the proceedings. And again, I guess that would loop back to your original question, but again, CDE does not believe that it has the ability to introduce sealed criminal records into a public hearing that anybody can access. The particular issue at hand is the board is vested with the general supervision of public schools. And as I mentioned before, CDE statutorily is able to deny and revoke licenses for misdemeanor child abuse in order to protect children from individuals like Ms. Hiotis, who have failed to ensure a safe environment for a child. And that is the main reason why we are here today, is because CDE wants to be able to use those criminal records in the disciplinary hearing and does not believe that those would be able to be used at that time.
Can you cite... Sorry, go ahead.
But I think we're going to ask the same question. Can you cite any authority for that belief by the CDE that you would not be able to use the records even though you have them in your possession, but they're sealed? Is there any authority that says
no.
says what you're proposing?
No, and the only the basis that no, there are no direct statutes on this particular issue. And really it's an interpretation of what happens when records are sealed. What happens when records are sealed, as I had mentioned, is that they are protected from the public, and CDE doesn't want to violate that sealing statute by using them in the disciplinary hearing. And I think that's really where it gets down to, is that we don't want to be in violation of a court order to seal the arrest and criminal records.
But you're just speculating then. You're speculating that we might be in violation of the sealing statute.
Yes.
And you're wanting to keep her records sealed because you might be in violations.
Right.
Let me ask you this also. In the proceedings, licensing proceedings, could CDE ask Ms. Hiotis whether she had ever been party to a deferred judgment and sentence arrangement and what happened, and would she have some basis for not answering that question if the records were sealed?
So how this would work is that, as opposing counsel mentioned, they would probably object to using the language of your particular question of saying the deferred judgment or sentence. How I might be able to frame the question is actually addressing the underlying criminal conduct that occurred. So my answer to your question would be yes, we would be able to ask her and cross-examine her and say, did you do this conduct? And then I would use specifically the facts of the underlying criminal case. However, again, it's the issue of if she does not agree, if she says no, I have no basis, I have no criminal records to impeach her. I have no evidence to say this is what has happened.
But you do. You have access to those records as a criminal justice agency.
Correct. Again, unfortunately, it goes down to the issue of we don't want to be in violation of the sealing of the records. If this court remands it, we don't want to be in violation of using those criminal records in order to impeach her.
So it's not a question of access, it's a question of use.
Correct.
And your concern about how you can use them is anticipating what some of the issues may be, but you don't have anything specific as far as any legal basis to say you could not use the records to the full extent if they're sealed, that you could if they're not sealed.
There's no authority out there that says that directly adds to this issue, that a disciplinary hearing, if the records are sealed and a disciplinary hearing occurs, we cannot use the records, to go directly on point to your question. However, it is anticipatory. The disciplinary hearing will be occurring, and we want to be able to use those criminal records. And as the magistrate judge has held, these criminal records are essential in our disciplinary hearing. And Ms. Hiotis' misdemeanor child abuse directly relates to the position as a teacher, and the CDE's interest in retaining the records is strong. Considering the severity of the charge and that the Colorado educator licensing statute's intent would be frustrated, the public's interest in maintaining the records far outweighs Ms. Hiotis' employment-based interest. Thank you.
And just to clarify, when you say the licensing statute then is frustrated, mm-hmm. is that because of the concern that you have regarding whether you may be restricted in how you use sealed records?
That is correct.
There's not some other basis?
That's the main basis we are concerned about, yes.
So after this particular licensing proceeding is concluded, mm-hmm. CDE wouldn't care if the records were sealed or not. Is that right?
At this, I have not conferred with my client on that point, but I cannot foresee a reason why CDE would object to sealing the records after the disciplinary hearing. Because our main issue is the fact that she has a misdemeanor child abuse for failure to ensure a safe environment for a child, and that is CDE's main concern in this case.
So, yeah. Excuse me, I'm sorry,
no,
I didn't
mean
that.
That's quite all right. Go ahead, Judge.
Is this a disciplinary proceeding or a relicensing proceeding?
So, Ms. Hiotis has applied for a renewal of an application, and the disciplinary hearing. The State Board has commissioned the AG's office to initiate a proceeding against her to deny that renewal application. So that's what would initiate a licensure proceeding. And after that particular disciplinary hearing ends, then the board that goes forward and decides whether to revoke or to not deny. So at that point, then we would no longer need the criminal records.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And Ms. Gomez, we're going to put 2 minutes on the clock for you to provide your rebuttal.
Thank you.
And I will try not to interrupt you.
By all means.
I make no promises.
Just to address some of the issues that were raised by Ms. Pennington for the CDE.
I'm sorry, could you bend the microphone down again? Thank you.
I'm shorter than most, I forget. As I was stating earlier, there are many, many things that can happen in the lower court. If the CDE's concern is to the violation of a potential violation or speculative violation of a sealing statute, there are many, many ways in which a licensing case can happen. You can close the hearing, you can put pleadings under seal. There are many ways you can protect these documents so you can ensure that they are protected. So that in and of itself, again, is not a basis, because licensing hearings can be closed upon request of the parties. Documents can be filed under seal upon request of the parties. That is typical within a licensing proceedings. As far as the conduct is concerned, whether Ms. Hiotis's child abuse charges and that have been dismissed and withdrawn are related to her ability or fitness to teach, or related to her ability to keep us students safe, is not found here. There's no basis for it. There's no evidentiary issue regarding that. That's for the administrative law judge to decide. The underlying criminal record will be available for them to prove their case as they will. How the judge weighs that evidence and determines how it affects, or whether it affects her fitness to teach, will be determined then. The CDE can continue and probably will continue to object to the sealing of Ms. Hiotis's license even after disciplinary proceeding, because she can always reinitiate and ask for another license. There is nothing, unlike a lot of statutes, there's nothing prohibiting Ms. Hiotis from reapplying for her license at any point, even if she's revoked. Revocation does not stop her from trying to be from being a licensed teacher again. So in closing, we would say that there is no basis or weight given by the CDE that compels the court to deny Ms. Hiotis' license. We ask that the court, we ask the court to reverse the district court's order and deny Ms. Hiotis' petition to seal the record and grant her license, her record to be sealed. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to thank both counsel for your excellent arguments. Those arguments are going to be very helpful to the court in reaching a decision. And now the case will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course.